مش شايف الترابيزه بيده اوكي لا لا كويس انا احس وسطهم يعني ما باسب زي In the name of the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Somebody asked me to speak concerning love, but in fact, I don't want to speak or give a lecture or just commentary on any chapter of the Bible, but I hope truly that we discuss together how we become ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Christianity means witnessing to the Holy Trinity, the fatherhood of the Father, salvation of the only begotten Son, and the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, His work in our life, how to renew our life. The Lord Jesus Christ, before He was crucified, He told the disciples just a couple of verses in John 13, verse 33 until 35. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will see me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Glory be to God. Amen. I want to ask a question and to discuss that. What is the meaning of love? What is the meaning of love? And I'm saying silence. Now, can any person has any spiritual exercise of silence? Now, yeah, what is love? Yes.
Sacrifice.
Forgiveness. Ali, are you?
Selflessness.
Ali, sorry.
Selflessness.
Okay. What is love? If you want to have love in your heart, what is your desire? Give. If I am in the desert and nobody with me, I will give whom? God. I believe through the words of Saint John in his epistles, who said that God is love. Then what is love for me? I want to restore my nature and to become the icon of God who is love. And in love, I can practice love here in this world, at my home, in the desert, in heaven, wherever I am, at any time, even while I am sleeping, I can practice love. Because love, in fact, means to be the icon of God. As Saint John said, love is, God is love. If the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, by this, what this new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. They see my icon in you. You are my icon. If you have love for one another, then what is the meaning of love? Is to be, in fact, the icon of the Lord Jesus Christ, or icon of the Holy Trinity, and to be in His likeness, to live as if you are in heaven itself. Here it is, the Lord say, He said, a new commandments I give to you. In the book of Deuteronomy, لخلي الليمة والأوراق دي سيبك من الشكليات دي احنا وان فاميلي نتكلم كده من غير احنا مش تاور ف طب الكوماندمنت دي موجودة في ديترونومي ولا ده في ال 10 commandments بس ب بدت we have to hear God. He asked us to hear. What we hear? You have to love God, and love your brother or your brethren as you love yourself. Then why he said it is a new commandment? It is new or old? It is new or old, the commandment? Old, but Jesus Christ said it is a new. New in the mind?
Renew
the mind.
It's new in the extent to we do it. Do we love as Christ loved us? As He died for the church.
Okay. What is the newness of this commandment? In fact, this commandment is old. But when the Lord Jesus Christ, as He said, He granted us the ability to practice it and to discover the reality of love. And if you ask any of the men of the Old Testament, what about love? He said, oh, I love my Lord. I pray for Him. I pray to Him. I fast. I always speaking about Him. And also I love my brethren. I sacrifice, as we heard, I sacrifice on behalf of my brethren. After the Lord Jesus Christ came, there is a new definition of love. Love means not just I love, I do so and so and so to God or to man. I became the icon of the Lord. The problem, in fact, the problem for us as servants of God. Sometimes we speak about love, but we haven't the practice. You say, oh, I make a lot of activities to Sunday school or to the young people or to the church and so on. I love the church and I work very hard on behalf of the church. But I ask yourself and you ask me, are you truly the icon of the Lord Jesus Christ? Inside you, do you believe the kingdom of God within you? And practically, and from all your heart, you feel your heart is in fact a new heaven? This is love. If you haven't, you are just joking. Oh, I am a servant, I have many activities. I remember a person once came to me from more than 40 years. At that time I was young. And he was from Cairo. And he said to me, Abuna, I want to speak with you. He was not an Orthodox person. He said, excuse me, I will not give you my name because I am very well known in Cairo. I have a lot of meetings. Thousands of people I am serve, lot of the young people, I serve them. Everybody enjoy my speech concerning the Bible, and they love my prayers and so on. But I have a problem. I said, what is the problem for you? He said, I want to speak frankly with you. Jesus is not in my heart. I speak about him. I feel I am very miserable. Perhaps a lot of people repent through my preaching, but I am far away from God. And he started almost to weep. I love this person because he spoke openly and frankly, and he wants seriously to be the ambassador of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I want to ask myself, not as a priest, but I spoke concerning myself as a Christian person. Is it truly true I am a believer? I trust in the work of the Holy Trinity. I feel God the Father is my personal Father to me. I enjoy the membership of the as a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am sure that the Holy Spirit is working and living and willing in my heart and renew my life every day. When Jeremiah in the book of the Lamentation, in chapter 3, he said that the mercies of God is new every morning. What does it mean? It means every day he says, this day is the most beautiful and joyful day in my life. I am in heaven. If I compare today by all my life which passed, this day I became very close more than what happened before that. Do we have the same feeling? I remember a person, he died. He was a priest in France. And he wrote in his a note. He said, sometimes on Sunday, when I am awake, I want to go to the church. But in my heart, I said, I don't want to go. But because I am priest, I have to go. We have to make a revision to ourselves. Are we true Christians? Not I say, are you servants of God, or are you priests, or even bishops or deacons? Are you true Christian? Father Apollo, the abbot of the monastery of Ancona, once he used to speak with his monks. Every day he used to go through the monastery, and when he found any of the monks is upset, he asks him, are you Christian? He says, I am a monk. He says, I ask you a question, are you Christian? He says, surely. He said, if you are Christian, do you trust Christ is in your heart? He said, surely. He said, if Christ is in your heart, you are happy or miserable. If you are miserable, you are far away from Christ. You are not Christian. Regardless, you are baptized, you go to the church, you receive the communion, you pray every day, you memorize the Bible, you do all aspects of worship, or even preaching. If you haven't the Holy Trinity working in you, you are not Christian. Therefore, we have to make a revision every day. Not revision, I am sinner, I do many bad things. I want to ask myself, in this day I was in heaven, I feel my Christ is in my heart. I want every single person in the world to enjoy the salvation. If we ask the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you want from this world? He would say, I hope all mankind to return to me and to the Father to accept the work of the Holy Trinity. What about those who persecute the church? I love them. I was crucified on their behalf. I want them to, if I have no hope in their repentance, why I left them in the world. Then according to Saint Augustine, every person in this world still life, even just last moment of his life, it means God is waiting this person to return to him and to enjoy the work of the Holy Trinity. I hope truly to be serious. I don't like the formalities. I don't like it at all. I hope truly I feel I am a man of God. I feel I am in his hand. I am on the way to heaven. I am very joyful. The Christian person feels that he is, in fact, I don't say very joyful or he is rejoicing. He is source of joy because Christ is within him. Christ is within him. And Christ is the source of joy, the true joy, the heavenly joy, the divine joy. Are we truly sources of the heavenly joy to every person, regardless they are Christian or non-Christians or not? This is very important. Then if we speak about love, we have to return to our inner man. Before I went to the church today, and I felt that God granted me to awaken about about 4 o'clock morning, I read in the book of Sirach what he said. He said, I do not remember the words as it is, but I tried to give an idea about the verse. He said, you are from dust and ashes. Why you are proud? Your inner man is corrupted all your life. Saint Augustine gave comment on this verse, what he said. He said, what is the meaning of pride? What is the meaning of pride? If you say, oh, this person is pride, is proud, what is the meaning of he is proud or she is proud? Highly even himself, he feels he is above all others. What is the meaning of, that's correct, but I want more. What about the pride?
That your will is above anyone else's will, like your will is your priority.
You?
Your priority.
Your priority, yeah. No. Sorry, I'm not, no. I want more. He gave Saint Augustine a very accurate meaning of pride. What is pride? He said, pride means to ignore your inner man and to look outside. I am very strong. I am very genius. I have priority in my study, in my service. I am more righteous than others. I am looking outside myself. While within us, within myself, my inner man is corrupted. The Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven, and He was incarnate on our behalf. What was His work? He wants us to return to the inner man and to discover, as He said in St. Luke chapter 17, verse 21, the kingdom of God within you, inside you. Then He wants us to look within us, within ourselves, instead of looking outside. Sam Basil the Great said, the majority even of the believers, they didn't care about themselves, they are care about what they have. And, I am very rich, I am very religious, I am good servant. What about yourself? I don't know myself. Then Saint Basil asks us always to look within ourselves. Are we truly the dwelling place of God? Do we feel we are the second heaven? Can I feel truly I am not here in this world? True body I am here, but all my mind, all my heart, all my emotions, all my inner man are in fact in a very joyful trip towards heaven to be in the Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the work of the Holy Trinity. Then, first thing, to love and to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ or ambassador of Him, you have to be an icon of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be every day, to be in progress, and the icon became more and more clearer, not by words, not by the appearance, but truly within you, you feel the power of the Holy Trinity within you. Second thing, as we said now, we have to look to our inner man. Are we corrupted or we are kingdom of God? Do you trust that the kingdom of God within you? If truly your inner man is a throne of God, what about your role? My role? I hope all mankind to share me this glory. Even the enemies. I have no enemy except one, Satan and his angels. But I hope every single person, human being, I want them to be, everyone to enjoy what I receive in my heart. Then, in fact, love, to be icon of Christ, second thing, to make a revision of your inner man and to be sure that the kingdom of God is established within you. I want to tell you something concerning witnessing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Once in 1971 or 72 in California, suddenly at midnight, a little lady knocked the door of the church, and we were group of the walls at that time, it was all of it glasses. She looked that there is a group in this hall of the church, and she entered. Then she said in Arabic, "Into tahku Arabi." فعرفتنا إيه لمن إيه from Syria or Lebanon or Iraq. بتحكوا عربي. فقلت إيه. She said, "I am living near your church." فأي asked her, Are you Christian? She didn't answer. Do you love God? She said, who is God? I said, he is your heavenly Father. He created you. He is taking care of you. He is your Father. Then she make a comment. What is the meaning of Father? What is the meaning of Father? I said, like you have a father and mother, and they brought you, you are their daughter. She said, I don't care. He just married my mother, and I was born, but there is no relation between me and my father and mother. I said, where you are living with them? She said, I don't know in which state they are living. They are divorced, everyone in a state, but I don't know. I said, if any of them is sick, you will not ask phone by phone, ask about. She said, I am not a doctor. If they are sick, they can go to the hospital. She refused God because she didn't taste the sweetness of fatherhood or motherhood. This is love. Love, in fact, not just to take care of the other person or sacrifice on his behalf, but to reveal the fatherhood of God, to taste the sweetness of the relationship with God through the relationship with you. I believe every one of us, in all his dealings, all his relationship with any person in the world, he has to know my relationship with him to reveal I am an icon of God and to taste the sweetness of God in me. Then if you have any lesson or any sermon in the church or at home or when you visit any person to speak with him, if this person do not in fact be in touch with the divine love, you have no love. You have no love. If you make calls in the history of the church, in the canons of the church, in any theological aspect, if through these studies they do not be in touch with the divine love, it is totally non-Christian. Totally non-Christian. And if I came and gave explanation to any chapter of the Bible and gave many stories, but after I finished, I asked myself, did they truly are in touch with God through this sermon? If not, it is not a sermon. No, it is an obstacle against Christianity. Then, through love, we can witness to the Lord in all our aspects of life. I want to tell you something happened here in the United States with me. One young person came to me, he finished his college, and said, I want to confess. I asked him, why is it the first time? He said, yeah, I do not remember, I confessed before. He said to me, I was on my way to deny faith, God the Father, or the Son, or the Holy Spirit, any of the Holy Trinity. And I put in my life not to read the Bible, not to believe in God, to live according to my logic, human logic. And when I started practically to attack faith, I found an obstacle in my life. What? I said, how? He said, I return to God more close and more strong in my faith. I said, how is it? You read many books concerning atheists? He said, no. What make you return to God? He said, my mom. I saw in her through all my life she was full of joy. And I always feel she is in the hands of God. When I start to deny my faith, I asked myself, if I die, will I be with my mom in heaven or not? And through her joy, peace and love, I returned to faith. I believe the attitude of spread of atheism for one thing. Not by logic, philosophy, no. The reality, they haven't touched with the divine love in the life of the believers, at home, or in the church, or in the street, any place. Therefore, if we want to attract those whom we serve to God, it is not just to take course in so and so and so. No. The first course, that they practically see God in me. I am very joyful. I am waiting, longing for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust I will be among the heavenly hosts. When I am at my private room and I stretch my hands, I pray on behalf of the whole world, even for Daesh and his army and so. I love all of them. I ask it myself always, do you love Daesh? Do you pray for him? Do you ask your salvation, his salvation, and all those who surround him? If we haven't, we are not Christians. But we are in failure. If we want to be very successful, there is no enmity at all with any human being. All of them were created, and God wants all of them to be saved. If we look to the church, all the worship of the church, all the activities of the church, all the responsibilities of the church, in fact, it is through the divine love. And without divine of love, we lose everything. For example, when you ask San John Chrysostom, and he was a man of suffering. Always he was suffering. And we ask him, what about, can you give me comment on your life? He would say, I am the most joyful, or I am the happiest person in the whole world. How is it? Many of the bishops against you, many of the monks against you, or the emperor and the empress against you, many of the noblemen against you. He said, but God is not against me. I love him. He loves me. I live in him. And he abides in me. Therefore, I am the happiest person. Once in Australia, I asked in the meeting of the servants in Sydney, who is the happiest person in the world? Some said, the prophets, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, the children, and so on. I said, do you know who is the happiest person in the world? I am. I am the happiest person in the world. And this is the answer of every believer. I am the happiest person in the world. And this moment is the happiest moment in my life. All what passed, I don't say, oh, when I was child, I was very simple, when I was young. No, no. This moment is the happiest moment in my life. I am full of joy because Christ within me. Then, after a couple of months, I said, perhaps I would make a kind of exaggeration in the answer. And when I read in Junkersystem, he wrote in one of the homilies, can't we find any person in the world more happy than the Christian person? And I think Saint Ambrose or Saint Jerome, I do not remember, wrote a letter to his friend. What he said? He said the Christian person is the happiest person in the whole world. So now I want to ask myself and ask you, who is the happiest person in the world?
The Christian.
Myself. I am. I am his child. When I enjoyed the baptism, not only just I became Christian, I became child of God. I became that in the Mayrun, or through the chrismation, I became the temple of the Holy Spirit. In the liturgy, I feel the cherubim and the seraphim and all the heavenly hosts are rejoicing because we are giving hymns with them. We share them their chorus. We won't get this exercise. We want to be the icon of Christ. We want to look to our inner man as the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of God established in it. The same thing, we are full of joy. Regardless anything happened in this world or in the church. What in the church? I remember from about four or less after I came here this time in the United States, at the time of Morsi, a person asked me when we were together alone in a car, do you think, what about the future of the church? According to the logic, totally the church in Egypt will totally be destroyed. Perhaps the Christian will become slaves or migrants or anything, or to be converted or to deny Jesus Christ. What today? Nobody, I think no state in the whole world, could know what happened now after we discovered all what happened through these last years, many years, where it is through the divine providence God was working for the edification of the church, for our progress, for our salvation. I want to leave a chance for questions. سكوت ده معناها ايه؟ يا اما واكلين كويس عايزين تناموا. لا عايز اسمع اسئله او كومنتس. ما كنتوا هتكتبوا ايه في الورق؟ لا احنا عايزين ما عندناش ورق. اتفضلوا. قولي عربي لاتيني اي حاجه. لا الآية ما كانتش كده في إنجيل يوحنا. يقول لا يعرف أحد الآب. No one can know the Father except the Son. And no one knows the Son except the Father. And those whom accept the work of the Son in their lives, they will know. What does it mean? Not it means we will not be with the Lord or we will not discover His reality. He wants to tell us, you are my children. And every father wants to grant his children knowledge. He wants to reveal everything to his children. The Lord Jesus Christ came here so that he may lift up our hearts and our minds and to enjoy the divine mysteries. It was too hard because we were living in sin. He came specially for us to forgive our sins, to grant us His righteousness, to dwell in our hearts, and through Him, through the work of the Holy Spirit, we have always progressed in the knowledge of God. Then we are children of God. What I know now, tomorrow I know more and more. When I be in heaven, we will not say, it is boring. It is boring. In heaven there is no boring. Why? Because every time I see God, I see as if it is the first time I know Him. Because the knowledge of God increasing until what? Unlimited. Therefore, there is no boring in heaven. شاف رأيك ابن إبراهيم ولا لسه ما جربتش تطلع فوق
ما جربتش
لا هنجرب إن شاء الله كلنا زي ده فوق في السماء لما نطلع أنا وإيه العبط اللي كنا عايشين ده في العالم نقول ده إحنا هنكون في عز وإحنا مش دارينين يعني وهي
دي المشكلة يا قدس أبونا. This is the problem. إن إحنا مش عارفين العز فعلا. We don't know the joy that we're in. But my question to your reverence is this. To your reverence, to you. You said to us that we have to be joyful. This is a characteristic of the Christian. So I think many of us have a question. How can we be joyful if we experience all of the sufferings of the world? You mentioned St. John Chrysostom. He was against this. All of these things that were against him. And yet he was joyful. We're all, most of us have difficulties in our life. Whether it's sickness, whether it's jobs, whether it's lack of money, whether it's persecution, whether anything. So I think what's on the mind of many of us is how can we see through all of that to feel that joy.
Taban, this is a practical question, and in all ages we have the same questions, and many fathers answered about this question. While we are suffering from many temptations, from the hatred of the world to us, from a kind which we consider it a kind of failure in our life, our study, our spiritual life, in our business,
our marriage,
come on, this is the first.
Forgive me.
Shafu, the first thing in the spiritual life is to take a decision. Do you want to be in Christ or out Christ? If you are in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. What about the mass, the thief who was on the right hand of the Lord? Was Can you imagine a person who is suffering a lot? Nobody, even historians, couldn't speak about the feelings of the person while he was crucified, because they said no language can express the suffering of the crucified one. How this person, while he was crucified, he forget all suffering and he concentrate all his mind, his inner sight, his emotions, all his energies were directed to Christ and said, "You are, therefore, you are not just a human being. You are a king and a lord. Remember me, O Lord, when you are coming in your kingdom. Then you are Lord and kingdom, because you love all those who crucified you. And I felt when I looked to your eyes, you love me. I never see any person in all my life had the same feeling like you. You are truly lover of all mankind, and especially you are lover of me." Then when we concentrate on the eyes of the Lord, discover how he is looking to us, we ignore the problem. We concentrate on the circumstances. Oh, I am in failure. There is a problem, family problem, there is church problem, health problem. Why you concentrate on all these things? We will depart. All these things, according to Saint Augustine, all of these things will leave us, or they leave us, or we will leave them. There is a problem. The problem for how many years? 10 years? 20 years? Yes, like surely there is a time in which I be free from this problem. Then I look to the Lord instead of looking on this problem. This is very important. Any other question? Is there a
Thank you for the answer, Huna. You had said that this was in consideration of the external circumstances. What happens if a person has an internal battle, a very deep and horrible and very strong internal battle? How do we also be joyful in that and overcome it?
I remember once I was speaking concerning thanking God and insisted that we have to rejoice, accept everything from God, and we thank Him. Then a person asked me, if I am in fact defeated by a sin, what will I do? Will I thank God? I said, yes. He said, how? I said, you say to the Lord, "Thank you, my Lord, because you revealed my weakness. I am a sinner. And nobody can grant me righteousness except you. You are my righteousness, according to the word of St. Paul. I will not leave you until you grant me yourself. You are my righteousness." Then we thank him that he reveals to me my reality, that I am very weak. Then I will be joyful. And I feel I trust in my Lord, and I have no problem concerning sin, because it is not my work. It is a message of God. I remember once a priest in Ottawa. He was, you know, at that time recently ordained. And he was driving his car and his friend from the work near him. And I was behind them. Then his friend said to the priest, "What can I do if there is a problem?" Then he said to him, "I want to give you my experience. He said, what is your experience? He said, when I have a problem, I ask myself, is it financial problem? I give it, I say it has to be, I refer to the vision or the to the financial office. If there is concerning law, I send it to the law office, and so on. Now, when you have a problem, look to the problem and say, it is the message of God to solve the problems. You have to write, refer, how it to the office of God. يرايوك. فنحولها أوعى تحولها office our father in confession. No, God answers. The problem sometimes when we are in problem, we are immediately we call our father. See, another father, before you speak with your father in confession, you have to speak with the father in heaven. This is very important in confession. I said it anyway.
So Abuna Ibrahim wanted me to ask this question.
أشوفك في الاعتراف.
He said that we need to examine our hearts and reflect on our life. What are practical steps to reflect and to evaluate like who we are on the inside and our inner man?
Tony can be يسأل أتسك your reverence said we have the part of loving God is to reflect and look at ourselves. We take evaluation. So what Tony was asking was, how do we every day reflect inside? So when we look in the inner man, we find the corruption. How do we do that? 1, 2, 3. Simple steps for us.
Once a person said to me, how can I enter in dialogue with God? I asked him, do you have dialogue with your father or your mother? He said, sure. I said, who learned you to enter in dialogue with your father and mother? Nobody. Through life. I said the same thing. If you live in the Lord and always you speak with him, surely even in your dreams, you will discover your inner man. The problem, we put God on side, not giving him the priority in our life. Always in good or what I consider bad circumstances, we enter in dialogue with God. Then it will be naturally, God will reveal your inner man to you. And it is not just, I will go to my room, I read chapter of the Bible, I try to forget everything from this world, and thus I give chance. You will remember something in your past, even while you were a child. The problem, we are not in close contact with God. Speak with him. And even when, whatever you do, you ask God, I want to see you, I want to enjoy you, I want to be in touch with you. Can you reveal yourself to me? Can you reveal my inner man to discover my reality by your Holy Spirit? We have to speak with God frankly, not in formalities. Even when you pray the Agbay, canonical hour, when you read any Psalm, before you read, you say, oh Lord, I will pray to you, I want to hear your voice, I want to enjoy your face. I want to see your beauty. I am waiting for your coming. Just seconds, I do not say minutes. Just cry to the Lord by asking something very short. According to Saint Augustine, he said it looks like prayer of arrow. You know the arrow? Mm-hmm. You just threw it. We threw this arrow and the door of the heaven will be open to you. Answer that.
It's my question, not
Abuna. Okay.
So Ustak said that any activity in the church, even if it's a lecture about the Christian Council, it has to have the listeners taste the love of Christ. So the servant, for example, would pray before or would have the kids pray together. Would you please elaborate what you meant?
What I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is not just a prayer as if it is a duty or formality. Before we start the meeting, we pray. Before I make any trip with the kids, I pray. I am in continuous prayer with God. Always my mind is lifted up and I speak with the Lord. Then it will be just in second when I ask God, can you help me? I feel God respond, answered my question. So we are in need not to make or to fulfill some formalities. No. I am his own son or daughter. I have the right to enter into his heart. He abides in me, I abide in him. His throne is the throne of my Father. I can enter to the throne in any time. Imagine the child of the president of the state, any state, want to meet his father and he is in his office. Can any of the guards prevent him from meeting his father? Never. We are children of God and always we are in continuous, unceasingly contact with God. Any other question?
Thank you.